Back here on Sports Talk, Bobby and Christian, Matty Hudak, Tulane football sideline reporter, joining us now. Matty, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Is this your first time on the show? Is this your maiden voyage on our show?
Well, yeah, it's our maiden voyage.
I believe that it is.
And Matty, is your maiden voyage on our show, but also, did you bring Tulane good luck being the sideline reporter? Because when you're around, they win, right?
Well, you could make the argument that I was there last year,
okay.
So it kind of evens itself out. But
okay.
It is one of the, if not the best season of this century. So I'll take some undeserved credit.
Matty, what has Tajay Spears meant to this football team?
Oh, he's just the heart of this team. I mean, you can talk about him as a player or him as a person, but you know, just his ability to change every single snap. He can receive. He can run any direction, outside zone, up the middle. He is one of the most tough blockers I've ever seen. And that Kansas State win doesn't happen if Tajay Spears doesn't push Michael Pratt over that fourth down on the quarterback sneak play. And that's not the first time he's done that this season. So he's just such a team player. After the first drive against Cincinnati, I remember Willie Fritz pulling him aside and telling him to keep everyone calm. And I think that really just says, you know, how important he is to this team.
Matty, Jaquan Jackson went to Hanville. I knew him, got to see him play when he was at Hanville, and got to interact with him. What a terrific young man. And he just seems like he's always got a smile on his face on the football field.
He's so fun. He was one of the first people I kind of met, and you know, you hear all these great stories about him. He's the guy that always sticks around to clean up the locker room by himself after every single game. And he really brought some electricity to that homecoming win against Memphis when he returned that punt for a touchdown after getting several called back this year. But yeah, he's just one of those fun players to watch with such an electric personality.
Now, Matty, what is your take? And I think it was important before the game, and it's not in limbo. My understanding that Coach Fritz is coming back to Tulane, and he's not going to Georgia Tech, because you look at past Tulane success, and former coaches have parlayed that into their next job. So I think that's significant that it looks like Coach Fritz is going to be on board with Tulane in the future.
Oh, 100%. And just the idea that, you know, I think this came down to him wanting to coach this final game out. And that's a principle you don't see often happen, you know, when this is kind of a business first industry. But yeah, just again, the fact that the whole mantra this season was really, you know, believing in themselves and seeing this out till the end. I think that he really felt strongly about that. But just the reaction these past couple of days, the fact that the game tickets sold out in just a few hours, that's not something that happens at Tulane University. And I went there. I just think that Willie Fritz has really changed, you know, the legacy of Tulane football. And we are very lucky to have him.
Now, Matty, because, you know, the quarterback gets too much of the glory, too much of the blame. But you look at the quarterback situation at Tulane with Pratt and all. So what is your take on that going forward?
So I was just kind of talking earlier about how I don't think Michael Pratt almost gets enough credit. He's really not the one that's ever losing games. And I said that kind of same thing about quarterbacks. But he's also not someone that's going to be the hero at the expense of the team. And I just think he's shown every week, you know, he improved his completion percentage by like 10% this year. He threw for multiple career highs week after week, 3 or 4 weeks without an interception. And he has such quick legs and the ability to take off. But it's the fact that he really just tries to be a quarterback first. And it's just, again, such a leader. He knows everyone's assignments at all times. And I think the guys really look to him for guidance. And I think, you know, his press conference on Tuesday was really strong and just showed that, you know, this team has been focused and that nothing's really going to deter them. And I think that all kind of starts with their quarterback, and they couldn't really ask for more out of Michael Pratt, I don't think.
You know, Matty, when I look at this, to me, this is an accomplishment considering the success they've had recently. Cincinnati, you know, a 32-game home winning streak, and then all of a sudden Tulane's able to break that. But you look at the conference overall, you look at the AAC, now it's going to change next year. But right now, look at like three teams in the top 25. And then Tulane just stopped Cincinnati's bid for a three-peat. And then you get to have a chance to avenge your only conference loss come Saturday against the UCF Knights. I mean, that to me is like almost like a movie, a perfect scenario to close out the season, going into possibly you win, then you're in the Cotton Bowl. I mean, we all heard the Cotton Bowl. Matty, I don't know if you're old enough, but I'm looking at the Rose Bowl, Cotton Bowl, Sugar Bowl, Orange Bowl. That's like old school for Tulane to be in that predicament.
And just, again, when you consider what the situation was last year, and, yeah, this is, and to add to that, it's the only team that they haven't beat this year that's also leaving the conference for the Big 12. So it would be a nice send-off to really beat all of them, and you just – get the sense that, you know, that was the game that got away from Tulane. But the way that they've won these games this year, you know, against Houston with Kai Horton coming in when he wasn't supposed to start and winning in overtime, as you said, ending 32, and I think it was something like 5 years of a home winning streak for Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And having to actually win the game, if that makes sense, you know, it wasn't a complete blowout. It was a very even game, a stressful game in real time. And when Cincinnati took the lead, Tulane very decisively took it right back in a way that you haven't seen the offense have that kind of command in the passing game all game. And they just always seem so patient and not willing to panic and abandon the game plan to kind of, you know, plug a leak in that moment. And just that calm stillness, I think you saw it a lot of the time last year, and especially in the way that they didn't fall apart off the field. Because when you only win two games and one's against an FCS school, yeah, it's easy to really see in-team fighting. But the fact that it's almost the exact same lineup as last year, they only lost Jeffrey Johnson to the transfer portal, and these all the guys all stayed for something that they really just believed in and created themselves. I've said that several times. It really does feel like a movie, especially with, you know, Tulane and kind of their recent history since not being kind of in those bowls for a really long time now. The fact that they're very firmly looking at that with it right in front of them, just going one more win this year, it really has just been a pleasure to witness.
Now, you know, Matty, when you look at, obviously, you get to play Central Florida again, and what's going to come about? I mean, I think they scored enough points. I was kind of disappointed with the defense because the linebackers, you look at the whole defensive unit, and I would be surprised. Listen, Plumlee's talented. Now he's coming back from an injury, and what's going to come about with that? But how well, you know, he's run the ball. And, you know, they're going to utilize two quarterbacks, but to me, you know what? I think if Tulane wins or not, you know, everyone looks at Pratt and Spears and all what you do offensively. I think it's the Tulane defense, whether they win or not.
Well, yeah, I mean, we could look at both sides of the ball in that game last time because just the drops by wide receivers were very uncharacteristic. It was more reminiscent of last season. They quickly shored it up, but I think the defense was just very caught off guard by the fact that John Rhys Plumlee runs track speed. And when it's something that is looking like it's involving a hamstring, I just think that that one edge of having that little bit of speed, but the defense just seems so motivated. And when you look at that last game, you know, he had 145 of his 176 rushing yards in the first quarter, and he had a 42-yard and a 76-yard run. So that was pretty much two really, really bad plays with bad consequences, but I really liked the way that they played through that game until the end because they never had the lead and they never lost sight of trying to win that game. And it ended up only being a 7-point game when that game looked like a runaway, quite literally to start. So I agree. I tend to think that this will come down to the defense because I think the offense just has shown consistency these last few weeks and those quick quarterbacks are the only thing that gives Tulane defense trouble. But sitting in on some of the meetings this week, they just really are so well prepared for this scenario, and I think they've been preparing for this scenario since they lost that game.
Matty Hudak, Tulane football sideline reporter. Matty, thank you.
Thank you all for having me, and roll wave.